We phoned Dr. William Fair, chief of urology at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York City, to ask some basic questions about prostate cancer, about the diagnosis and the possible treatments. We began by asking which men are likely to be most at risk.
The risk of developing prostate cancer for a man living in the United States or Western Europe is about 1 in 5. So virtually any man is at risk of developing prostate cancer. But there are some high-risk populations, notably African-American men or men with a family history of prostate cancer are more likely to develop the disease.
And you're looking at a particular age group as well?
Well, we always used to say that prostate cancer was a disease of elderly men and found uncommonly in men under the age of 60. But now with things like the serum test, the blood test for prostate-specific antigen, or PSA, we're finding it at a younger age. And the hope that this new advance that may lead us to understand more about the genetic influences that we could screen men even in their 20s and 30s and find those who are at risk and perhaps implement some preventive approaches at that time.
In a normal situation, the blood test would be recommended for what age man?
Normally, men over the age of 50, although in African-American men and those with a family history, we recommend it at age 40.
How deadly is prostate cancer thought
well,
to be?
Well, it's the second leading cause of cancer death in males. The paradox arises because we can find microscopic evidence of prostate cancer in a third of men in their 30s, and yet obviously a third of all men don't die of prostate cancer, and what we don't understand is why it grows rapidly in some men, and other men, many men will die with the disease rather than of the disease.
I've heard it said that if you live long enough, every man will get prostate cancer.
That's correct, yeah. If you live long enough.
We heard Joanne Silberner talking about the identification with the help of genetics. Would genetic therapy be a possibility somewhere down the road?
Well, I don't know. That's a big leap. But what would excite me more is the developments that are occurring now, both clinically and experimentally, the way of nutritional intervention and dietary restrictions or supplementation, so that if we knew who was at risk, that would be the group to really work on in terms of nutritional interventions, and not with the idea of necessarily curing the prostate cancer, but just slowing the growth of it, so that instead of maybe developing in a man in a microscopic form at age 30 and then becoming a clinical or a killing cancer at age 50, if we could make it so that that cancer that may develop at age 30 wouldn't threaten the man until he was age 90, that would be an insignificant cancer for most men.
What sort of nutritional therapy could that
be? The best evidence we have right now is a low-fat diet and possibly other things like a high intake of soy proteins. We're at a loss to explain, for instance, why the incidence of this microscopic or latent cancer is the same throughout the world, the United States and Japan, for instance, and yet the incidence of killing cancer is many times higher, in some studies 100 times higher in the United States or Western Europe than it is in Japan. And furthermore, when Japanese or Chinese men move to the United States, within one generation, there's a tremendous increase in the incidence of prostate cancer in Orientals. So we think that that's strongly influenced by environmental factors, and chief among these is diet.
Were you, when you heard this news today about the genetic finding, were you particularly excited about it?
Yes, I was. But again, my view is that the only way we're going to make a significant impact, because the problem is so huge, the cost involved are so monumental, the significant impact in prostate cancer morbidity and cost is going to be through prevention. And I think that this is really the hope of identifying these genetic abnormalities, really to identify individuals who are at high risk and really explore preventive measures early before men develop the disease, rather than trying to focus on the cure of far advanced disease.
Thanks, Dr. Fair.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye.
Dr. William Fair, Chief of Urology Services at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in Manhattan.